Some of you adults, please don't escape with them. All the little ones. Very good. I sort of preach when I run around, so they might actually enjoy the way I preach. But I'd like for us to look at Psalms chapter 55, verse 22. This last term has been a particular challenge for me, and there are some things I learned. And maybe there are some things in your life that you need to surrender to God. That's in Psalms chapter 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Notice that again. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the really good attendance here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the spirit and the joy, the excitement. I thank you for the singing, the music that we've heard. I thank you for this pastor who has always been kind and has been my friend throughout the years. And I thank you for this church and her faithful support. And Lord, we pray now that you will bless the preaching of your word. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Again, I want to thank you so much for your faithful support. And I have a confession to make. Sometimes as a missionary, I misbehave, or I might do something wrong, or something fails that I tried to do. And if it doesn't come out the way I wanted, I just don't put it in my reports, and you just don't know about it. And sometimes I even get myself in trouble because I think, you know, like in the Philippine culture, beating the system, taking shortcuts, finding another way, doing something differently is like it's like something to accomplish. It's like, wow, did you do that? That's great. So I decided I was going to be a Filipino, and I saw this sign. This sign in Filipino said, do not enter. It was a sign. And I saw the sign. I knew what it meant. It was in a different language, but I still knew what it meant. And I had two bags. I went to the marketplace. I had two bags. And I saw this sign, and I said, I wanted to take that shortcut, but there's a sign that says I can't go through it. I said, I looked around, and no one's watching, and I said, you know, I saw the sign, it's in Tagalog. I said, you know, they don't expect me to know what it means. I can probably plead ignorance if I get in trouble. And I'm making up my mind if I would do something that I probably shouldn't do. But at the same time, I wanted to take a shortcut. And it was hot, and I had these two bags, and I was walking back from the market. And I looked on the ground, and I saw that there was a little foot trail, a little footpath that also bypassed the sign and went through the sign and disobeyed as well. So I said, other people have had the same idea I did, and there's a trail. So I said, if I do this, I won't be the only ones. Others have done it before me, so I guess it's safe because there's a little footpath that started. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to be adventurous, and I know that it's going to come out where I want it to come out, and I'm going to successfully take my shortcut. So I started on this adventure. And I was really doing very good. I was making great progress, making great speed, and it was just wide open. I said, this is ridiculous. Why do they even put this sign here? It doesn't make any sense. This would be a perfect shortcut. But then I noticed as time was going on that it became more and more difficult to walk. First I could walk like this, but then I noticed there was something going up on my right, and then there was something starting to go down on my left. And then I said, this is not becoming level. It's becoming more like a hill the more I'm walking. And then I noticed it had like a little ledge that was flat. So I said, oh, okay, I guess I'll walk along. So I started walking along the edge. And then I noticed the edge or ledge started getting narrower and narrower. And I'm starting to walk a little bit to the side. And I see a wall forming up on this side. And it's almost like I'm hugging the wall. I look down, and it's getting kind of deep down there. And I said, what did I get myself into? It looks like a cliff. It looks like this is not where I should be. But I said, I might as well continue. I started. I'm certainly not going to go back. I might be over the halfway point. So I just
kept going, and I'm so, okay, I'll just keep going. I said, how did I ever get myself in this mess? Next time I'll have to obey, and I'm starting to think I made a mistake. And then I kept going, and then I noticed it just stopped. And on the other side, it started again. And in between here and there, it was like a canyon. It just was a big drop. And there was a big drop here, and I realized they were building a bridge, and it wasn't quite finished yet, and there was a gap that I would have to jump. And I'm trying to think, well, am I healthy enough? Can I bowled before. I know how to run and not cross the line, and I think I could jump. I think I can. And I said, well, no, I don't feel like this is my day. I think I might just turn around and head back and hope no one saw me. Well, as I turned around I looked, and on the other side there was like maybe 10 or 15 Filipinos that had gathered around, and they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and I said, okay, I cannot go back now. I cannot go back now. I cannot. I would try, but you know, it's too humiliating. I don't want to be laughed at, so I can't go back. And I said, how in the world do I get myself in these situations? These are the things I don't put in my reports, but they're good illustrations, and this is true. So anyways, I said, okay, well, let me just back up and just gauge and see, you know, if I can run and then jump and make sure I get this right. And just as I was negotiating to jump, on the other side, on the edge, a Filipino came up. He said, sir, you throw me the bags, then you can jump yourself, sir. Easier if you get rid of the bags. I'm saying, I said, if I throw them the bags, will he run away with them? And then I can't get across? So I took the bag and I told him, you know, I'm a pastor, and I thought that would help. But anyways, I came closer and I said, okay, are you ready? Okay, I'm ready. Okay. Now I said, which bag do I throw? Because one bag belonged to my wife and the other bag belonged to me. So I said, if I throw him a bag and he runs, well, which one do I want to save? I said, okay, I'm going to throw my wife's. Now, let me warn you, that's not good advice. Because if he was around with that bag, you would not be hearing this message tonight. So anyways, I took that bag and I went, one, two, and I threw it, and he caught it. And when he caught it, he just sort of squatted with the bag. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. I said, well, he didn't run, so that means one of two things. Number one, I can trust him with this other bag. Or number two, he's waiting for the second bag before he runs. So it's one of those kind of things. So I took the second bag, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and the challenge is on. I threw him the bag. I'm watching him. He's watching me. He grabs it. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And then he squats. I said, okay, I guess he wants to enjoy the adventure too. Now I look, and now I see that what was 10 to 15 had now went to about 20 to 30, it seemed like. And I saw some bills. I don't know if they were exchanging, making bets, if I was going to dine. But it's like I was the entertainment for the barangay area over there. I said, oh, man, now I got to get across. Well, this is one of those situations where you wish you can get out of it, but it's too late now. So what I did was I went up to the edge and I looked. And I said, okay. Then I backed up and I got ready for my jump. And I paced myself. I estimated, you know, how it would be. And I got up there, because here's the ledge. And it's almost like jumping from here to maybe that pew. And I was younger then. And I think if you move that songbook, I think I can land right there between you two. And no, I'm not going to drill it. Okay, so I backed. No, you don't trust. Okay, I'm pretty accurate. Don't worry, I'm pretty accurate. Okay, I know Kung Fu. I took a course from the comic section. Okay, so I have a body of fine tempered steel like a metal coat hanger. Okay, so anyways, I went back and I paced myself and I put up, by the way, I hyperventilated. They were over there, so I'm like, and I tried to get every amount of strength I could And so I backed up, and then I went up, and I went up in the air. And it felt good. Like I was going to make it. Now, when I was in the air, I prayed to God. My prayer was not a deep theological prayer. It was more like, help! Because I needed God's help immediately. Now, I also knew that, you know, every action has an opposite equal reaction. So I said, maybe I've put three things behind me. My foot will pop out and I'll be able to cover the distance. Or maybe if I, do something in the air, maybe if I fly, I can get up. I didn't know what else to do. But in the military, we have a term called maximum ordnance. And that's when you reach the top of your trajectory, there comes a point when you're coming down. And you better hope that when you reach that point, you're over the halfway mark. And things started coming down really quickly. And then I'm going to tell the pastor what really happened. And next Sunday, if you're faithful and come to Sunday school early. So I was in the air, and then I came down. And when I came down, I landed. I had some room to spare. Okay, I landed, and I'm like, but when they saw me, I saw them over there. I got my bags, and I acted like I do this every day. Now, I want to give you this. This is very important. I want to give you this. I could not get across. I don't believe I could with those two bags. I had to trust that man with those two bags. Those two bags were valuable to me. But if I didn't give him those two bags, I would not have been able to jump. And if I kept those bags, all three of us probably would have went down, the two bags myself. In the same way, sometimes we have things in our life that are precious to us. Things that we want to hold on to. Could be, of course, your children. Could be your plans. Could be how you want things to turn out. Could be a possession. But it's something that you worked hard for that you want that's precious to you. And sometimes God may require of us to do something and take a leap of faith. It could be missions giving. It could be that God is calling you as a missionary. It could be that God wants a teenager to surrender to Bible college. It could be that God wants you to do something with your life and you're saying, but I can't let go. And what happens is those things become burdens that hold you back. Right. And the Bible says, take those things and cast them unto the Lord, and he will sustain thee. Amen. And I'm saying, we need to be careful because sometimes we can have things in our life, and we've worked hard for them. You know, as a missionary, it's hard for my wife. I'm going to be a grandpa. And we heard news that I was going to be a grandpa, she was your grandma. One of the first things that came in our mind is, we won't see our grandson, our granddaughter. We'll be on the field when the child is born. And we have to give that to the Lord. When Joshua went to Pensacola and Jonathan went to Bible college at Heartland, it was really hard. My wife was like, oh, I won't see him anymore. And he was raised in a different culture, and now he's in America, and it's foreign to him. And we're just going to turn our back. We're going to leave him alone. And you have to cast him to the Lord. And I'm saying there may be things in your life that are precious to you that you really don't want to trust God with. And you're not really willing to let him take control and take care of it for you. But what I learned is if you'll cast them to God, God will do a better job than you would with them. And then you'll find out that after you trust God with it, it's easier to trust him with more and more. And you also find out you were able to take that leap of faith and make it safely on the other side. You know, one time there was, sometimes it only comes to a point where you just have to trust God. One time there was a boy, his name was Johnny, and Johnny and his mom were visiting the Grand Canyon, and you know what happens. Mom says, "Now, Johnny, I'm going to go. I'm going to get us some soft drinks. Please stay put. Don't go to the edge, Johnny. You know what happens." "Yes, Mommy." As soon as the mom turns her back, Johnny goes to the edge. "Wow, that's deep." "Johnny?" "Yes, Mom, I'm okay. I'm not by the edge, Mommy." "Okay, just checking." Johnny sneaks back to the edge. He gets a rock, looks at his watch, drops it. "Wow, man, that was long. Maybe I can get a bigger rock." He gets a bigger rock, goes to the edge. "Johnny?" "Yes, ma'am." "Are you close?" No, I'm far away." "Okay, I'm almost in line. I'm almost there." "Okay." Gets that bigger rock. He falls. "Ah!" He grabs onto a branch. "Help, help!" He looks up. "Help!" Looks down. "Help!" He is in trouble. He calls out. He knows he's in trouble. He's holding on with all his strength. And then finally a voice comes. "I'll help you." "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, thank you so much. Hey, where are you? What?" "I am God." "Oh, I'll help Pastor Parrish. If you'll help me, I'll cut the grass. I'll blow the leaves away. I'll paint, I'll strip, I'll vacuum, I'll clean, I'll visit, I'll do anything." "Don't make promises you will not keep." "Okay, Johnny. Okay, God. God, what do you want me to do?" "I want you to let go and I'll catch you." "What?" "Let go, Johnny." "Okay." "God, are you still close? Can you hear me?" "Yes, I can hear you, Johnny." "Okay."
"God?"
"God?" "Yes, I'm right here. I'm still waiting. Just let go, Johnny, and I'll catch you. You only have one hand left. Just let go." "Okay. Ready?" "I'm ready." "Okay." "Help! Help! Anybody else? Anybody else? Help!" Now what happens is, sometimes, the only way
you can trust God with what is holding you back or what's precious with you is just to let go. Sometimes there's no other way. You can't give it and pull it back a little bit. It's not a tug of war. You're just going to have to simply trust God. In my own life as a missionary, I have had to trust God with many things.
Even now, like what your pastor mentioned, I don't know where I'm going to live in Baguio. Our support level right now is not enough to make it, but we're still going to go, and I need to trust God with it. I trust God with my two sons. I'd like to see them more, but we'll be on the field. I'd like to see my grandson or granddaughter, but we'll be on the field. When you celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas, you're with family. A lot of times I'm not. You give it to God. Problems, you give it to God. So let me ask you this. Are you casting what's precious to you and trusting God with it? Is there anything in your life that's holding you back from serving God? Something that's precious to you? Maybe it's your own freedom of time. Maybe you don't want to be available. Maybe you don't like the inconvenience. Maybe you have a son or daughter, and you'd say, "God, please don't call him to be a preacher or a missionary." Maybe it's something like that. What I'm challenging you is that if you will cast those, I would say they're burdens if you don't cast them to them, but they're blessings if you would. I would say if you would trust God with those things in your life, God will truly enable you to take that leap of faith and make it safely on the other side. You know, I'm the worst candidate to be a missionary. When I was in school, I was nervous. I was an introvert. That's why my wife had to pray me in.
Because I just was not the kind of person. If I had to do a book report, the paper would rattle. I'd never look at the class, and I'd be done in 3 seconds. My first sermon was preached in 5 minutes, and it had about 5 pages of notes. If a fan blew it away, I'd probably short circuit. You know, if a page blew off, I'd probably short circuit, wouldn't know what to do. I'm the kind of person who likes everything solved before I step out. I like to have plan A, plan B, and plan C. And when I travel my car, I even have a portable tire inflator and everything else. I like it all settled. And as a missionary, I found out I got to cast things to the Lord. And I'm saying, maybe you're here tonight and there's things in your life that you're holding on to, and you know you need to trust God with those things. You know, it does tell us, it's very true, that we are to take our burdens and cast them unto the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let me ask you this. Is there anything in your life that you're holding on to that you are not trusting God with? Anything that's so precious in your life you're saying, no, God, not this? Then those things will become burdens and weights that will prevent you from getting across to the other side where God wants you. So let me challenge you. Let's not hold anything and say, God, this is not yours. God, no, not this. Let's not be that way with God. Let's trust God with the things that matter to us most. And when you learn that, and when you do that, you'll see God has a way of taking care of it. And God has a way of doing something beautiful with it if you will just simply trust him. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this church. I thank you for their faithful support. And Lord, I do pray that maybe there are some, I don't know, maybe there are some, and they know that there are things in their life that they are not willing to surrender. They know there are things that are precious to them, and they've said, no, God, not this. This is mine. No, God, not this. And Lord, I pray that you will just challenge them, encourage them, help them to see that if they will cast that to you, you certainly will sustain them. Lord, we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.